prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
Now for us humans, our only hope is in change. Our only hope. How many of you have ever said or thought about that person? They'll never change. You'll never change. And doesn't the devil whisper that in our ears? You big loser, you never change. You're always like that. And then we say that about this big bro, always like that. Right? Our hope is the fruit of the Spirit, that God will change us into His image. And that's the promise. That's what we hang our hats on. That's the good news of the gospel, is not only as it saves us from hell, it justifies us, it glorifies us, now that just and it sanctifies us. That sanctifying work of God is God changing us into His image. Yay! I don't want to be me. I hate me because me doesn't look or smell or act or taste like God at all. So get rid of me and put Christ on me because I stink. You know what I'm saying? We should all have that hope in Christ changing us. And we're going to talk about His hope a little more here and then we'll be done. So bear with me. But thankfully, God does not, cannot change. He's awesome. And of course, we have James chapter 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, talking about God and His being, being, you know, unchangeable, eternal, infinite, and spirit, and then just some overarching characteristics of God. 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy, man, Paul is just knocking it right out of the park with this. And that's how he starts his chapter, you know, to Timothy. Now we've got some other verses about His being. In Exodus 3:14, I mentioned this last week. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Then we have Psalms 115, chapter 1, says this. Yes, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory, because of Your love and faithfulness. And in verse 2, why do the nations say, where is their God? In verse 3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. Now, He's the only one who can say that. If we say we do whatever pleases us, what's that mean? We're selfish. But God, who is unchangeable, immortal, invisible, the only God who deserves honor and glory forever and ever, He can say that, and He's not being selfish. He's being God. Now let me ask you this. Check your heart. Heart check. Does that offend you? Does that offend you that God can do whatever pleases Him and we cannot? Got to do our heart check here. Why would that bother us? If He's everything He is, and He is, wouldn't that rock? Wouldn't that be the best thing we could ever think of, is that God will do whatever pleases Him? Or does it scare you? Verse 1 Timothy chapter 6:15-16. Which God will bring about in His own time, this is finishing up another verse, I apologize, God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To Him be honor and might forever. Incredible stuff. This is all from, and this is chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. These aren't just little sayings or nicknames of God to say He is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now let's be logical about something. Muhammad claims to be the only prophet and Allah the true God. And I once heard a very blasphemous thing from a hospice chaplain who said, who got up there and said, the God of the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews are the same. Now, I would agree on about 2/3 of that. But he had no right, according to what the Scripture teaches, or the Quran, however you want to say it, to even dare say that. If he said that when Muhammad was around, Muhammad would have lopped his head off with a scimitar. No, he would not have been pleased with that, even though it's all evil. But Christ and God is the only ruler. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. There is one God. And anyone who preaches anything but Christ to get to him, you know, is not of God. It really is that simple. If it's anti-Christ talk, then certainly it's anti-God talk, because God is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. So anyone who denies Jesus denies the Father. There goes the Muslims, there goes the Mormons, there goes the Jehovah's, there goes anything that denies Jesus Christ as the one and only way. Bam! We are not talking the same God anymore. There is only one God, one ruler, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are many other attributes of God that we don't have time to look at today. His wisdom, his power, his holiness. That's the one that humans hate the most, is God's holiness. Because God's holiness reminds us of how much we stink and how evil we are. And no one likes to look in the mirror and go, "Ugh!" We like to look in the mirror and go, "Ugh!" That's how we like to respond, right? But God's holiness reminds us of how much we stink and his goodness and his truth. But I want to give you hope. I want to talk about our future for just a second, and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And this is the hope that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, referring, first of all, to the Scriptures. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. In the Scriptures, we work hard to try to gather our understanding of God. But it says, then we shall see face to face. Now, I just read you a verse that says that God lives in inapproachable light and no one has seen him, but we will get to see him. The Christian who has trusted in Christ will get to see God face to face. And then, of course, we have 1 John 3, chapter 1 through 3, says this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Now listen to this. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I want you to grasp this, that we are going to see a risen Christ, a glorified Christ, and we will not burn up. One thing, if you study your Old Testament at all, you'll know that any time a Jew saw God, they freaked out. And they always said, I've seen God, I'm going to die. And they knew that seeing God meant they're going to burn to a crisp because they couldn't endure his holiness. But that will not be for the person clothed in the righteousness of Christ. They will stand before God, justified, sanctified, and glorified before God. It's an incredible promise. And 1 Corinthians 15, this is where I really want us to hang our hats. Well, I mentioned that one. We come down here. Yes, 15:53. Here's how this is going to happen. It's even been given to us, so we don't even have to guess. I'm going to start at verse 50 on my notes. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So listen very carefully to this. If you ever question or doubt what happens after we die. Here it is. Here's one of the huge ones. Of course, Jesus also says some really cool stuff, but here's where we're going to end. The perishable cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Verse 51, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. There's a huge hope. You know, this morning, I'm washing my hair, and I'm realizing, hey, my hair is getting thinner, and I need to use less shampoo. There's a day this body is going to be discarded because it's wearing out. It's just junk. We will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This change. And then in verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The only way we are going to view God in His glory is if God rebuilds us in an imperishable, immortal body that can withstand His glory and His holiness. And that's what we're going to get. That's awesome. Talk about a party. Talk about all that we were meant to be and going to be is all here. That's our future hope. That's amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your glorious truths for and hope for us and what is to come. And the trials and tribulations we have, they are nothing compared to what we will be. May You use these trials and tribulations to make us more mature and holy and loving of You because of the promises You've given us. May we not forget these truths, and may we study them even more deeply, simply because we love You, Father. Thank You for the hope that You've given us. And You did not lie, and You did not hide it. Thank You, Father, for Your amazing promises and for being the unchanging God that we can truly rest in. In Jesus' holy name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakinDeacon.com. Truth is here.